Thank you, Daniel, for that very clear statement about what has happened to you. Now, as I understand it, this law was introduced in 2001, and just a few months later, you were caught under the offence which you were eventually found guilty of. What I wonder is, what were Christians saying prior to the introduction of this law?
Christian community was divided. Liberal Christians, who have no faith in Bible as it is, they were in favor of this law, that this is a very good law. Bible-believing Christians were again subdivided. Some were saying it's a bad law, it needs to be changed. And what we'll call evangelical Christians who want to propagate gospel, they could see it's a very dangerous law. So they were totally opposed to this law. So that was from the very beginning.
So there was a lot of opposition from some quarters, but from others, they welcomed the law. Was there any changes made to the proposed legislation?
Yeah, when the opposition grew, then government made exclusions, like for religious purposes, for artistic purposes, for academic purposes.
So there was introduced into the law an exemption for any statements made for genuine religious purpose by people acting in good faith. But here you were giving a seminar in a church to Christians for a genuine religious purpose. Why was it that you couldn't make use of that exemption?
Judge found me that I'm not reliable because I submitted 3 books which were in photocopy state and stapled. So, and then I used my pen name, which is actually my Pakistani name. That name was Sarfraz Ahmed Siddiqui. Sarfraz is my home name, my nickname, and Ahmed Siddiqui is my father's name. So judge said that I'm deceitful because I have not used my name Daniel Scott. Now in all my paper, my name in Pakistan is son of Ahmed Siddiqui. That's how it goes in Pakistan. So it was my name there. But judge said that I'm deceitful because I'm using different name in my books. And he also found me that I'm not reliable because I'm saying, Allah says in Quran, Surah 5, verse 38, that thieves' hands should be chopped off. So he said that the Quran says Allah is merciful, and I'm not explaining that Allah is merciful. And I did explain to judge that mercy means that when your hand is cut off, then your sin is forgiven. That is what mercy Muslim understand. It's like your payment of punishment is like your redemption for your sin. But because judge is ignorant, he didn't know what Islam is or what Islamic law is. That law has been carried on for 1400 years, and hundreds of thousands people have lost their hands for stealing under Sharia law. But because judge has no clue of that, so he thought that I'm not reliable because I'm telling Allah says in Quran, thieves' hands should be chopped off. So based on these arguments, he found me that I'm not, I was not acting in good faith.
Now, you've told us that the law in Australia is a civil law as opposed to a criminal law, which our government is proposing. So, with it being a civil law, tell us, how was the trial conducted?
In trial, there was no actually set rules. So, judge was not really bound by any rules. It was very arbitrary in nature. And like what Muslim accused me initially, they wanted to change that altogether. And judge agreed with that. And then my barrister wanted more time to prepare for the case, and judge said, no, I will not allow you more time. Judge said, however, if you need more expert witnesses, I can allow you that for later. And then later when we applied for the expert witnesses, judge said, no, I will not allow you for expert witnesses. And the strange thing was, judge found we were 5 witnesses from Christian side, and judge found all the 5 witnesses from Christian side, they were all unreliable. They were false witnesses in the court. On the other hand, there were 7 witnesses on Islamic side, and they were all reliable. So it was very strange the way the case was conducted.
Now, the people who brought this case against you, tell us, what kind of legal team did they have?
Muslim Islamic Council of Victoria, they don't have shortage of funds as Christians have. So they hired a very, very powerful legal team there. They have 7 legal minds working for them. They have 2 QCs, 1 QC and 1 senior counsel, which is equivalent to QC in Australia. And then they have 1 junior barrister. Then they have 4 solicitors working for them. So they were 7 legal minds working for them.
Now I understand that in order to defend yourself and to demonstrate that the quotations that you made from the Quran and other religious texts were accurate, you attempted to demonstrate that by reading from the Quran. Tell me, what happened then?
Yeah, when I was in witness box initially for 5 days, and then I was called in on 6 days again when we went for to hear the judgment of the judge. During those 5 days, all the three barristers of Islamic Council, they cross-examined me in turn. Somehow they found important that all of them should cross-examine me. And every one of them told me, in one way or the other, Pastor Scott, don't read from Quran and Hadith. You may be vilifying our clients. So when I was told second time, I asked to the judge, I said, Your Honor, I have been told second time, I have been forbidden second time, that I should not read from Quran and Hadith. That may be vilifying Muslim people. And my question is, that if reading of Quran and Hadith is vilifying Muslim people, then why these books are here? Judge did not really answer that question first time. But I, being a bit persistent, when I was asked third time, that Pastor Scott, don't read from Quran and Hadith, you may be vilifying our clients. I asked the judge, I said, Your Honor, I have been told third time that I should not read from Quran and Hadith. That may be vilifying Muslim people. And my question is, if reading of Quran and Hadith is vilifying Muslim people, then why these books are here? We don't want to vilify Muslims by their Quran and Hadith. And judge said, I'm not here to decide this question.
Now, I know there's been a great deal of controversy about your case in Australia. Tell us, how have the media responded to it?
At large, media have been favorable because media is concerned for their own safety. Because if you tell anything about Islam which is based on Quran and Hadith, but Muslims want to hide it from public, then they will sue you. So automatically, they were fearful that if Daniel is punished under this, then we will be punished tomorrow. Because they have been mentioning what I was saying from Quran and Hadith in the courtroom. So they were more on my side, but there were some who were working on other direction. So they were critical. There was some sad thing that there were wrong information in the judgment against me, the things that judge has made up, which are not true. And that way, media thought, oh, that's really catchphrase. So we can put that up and defame Pastor Daniel Scott. So media is not always for truth. They are for something which will just make a good story.
Now, one of those things that the media blew up was the fact that you said that all Muslims are demons. Now, did you really say that?
I never said that. And this is what I was referring earlier. When on sixth day, that was like after case has been closed and judge has to give his final decision, I was pulled back in witness box. Somehow, Muslim Council of Victoria, they loved me to be in witness box. So the judge asked me, are you still teaching on Islam? I said, Your Honor, yes, I'm teaching. And he said, are you using same material? I said, Your Honor, I have not produced a new Quran. I'm using the same Quran which I used in the seminar. Neither you have printed a new Quran where illegal verses are not included. So I'm using same Quran, same Hadith, and same life of Muhammad. He said, so you are teaching that Muslims are demons. I said, Your Honor, I never said that. And I'm really surprised how you have come up with that idea. You read my transcript, you read my whole seminar, 5 days transcript in the court. I never said that. And it surprises me that how you have come to this conclusion. Then my barrister, he re-examined me. And he asked me, Pastor Scott, what was your feeling? I said, I was not very happy when I read what judge has said about me. And I felt that I have been defamed internationally by putting up a statement which is not true against me. So that is not true. It was a statement made up by the judge so that he can defame me and he can justify that I'm really a horrible person saying wrong things. So I think that may be the reason why judge made up that statement.
Now, your legal team has examined the judgment from the case, and that's not the only error that they have identified, is it?
No, actually, my legal team has it's called a prerogative writ. They have identified 114 errors, 114. So 114 errors in the judgment and in the legal procedure.
Now you're appealing against the decision of the court?
Yes, we are appealing.
And how's that going?
We have got permission to appeal, I came to know last Friday. So now my barrister will be preparing for the appeal, and it may take more than a year before the case is finalized in Supreme Court. And if it's not a right decision, then we will take it to High Court, Federal Court of Australia, because we don't want that law should be in Australia. Because of this law, there have been very high tension between Islamic and Christian communities and other faiths as well.
Now, this must be costing you quite a bit of money. How much does all this legal work cost?
It's hundreds of thousands of dollars. When I came, before I came, I left for overseas teaching this tour. I ring those people, they have fighting fund, and I was told that they have $1,200 which has come up. With people like you, they send money and they help. And the legal bill, before it has started on the appeal, it was already over $100,000. So appeal has not started yet. But it's a very lengthy court case, 40 days in the court hearing. It's 6,000 pages of the transcript, and then many more submission from both sides. It's a very lengthy case.
Now, you mentioned that since the introduction of this law and since your case, there's been increased religious tension. Tell us, have there been any other cases brought under this law?
Yeah, there have been other cases, like, for example, there was a pedophilia witch who was found guilty. He is a witch, and he tells that his religion teaches that he can hypnotize young girls and then have sex with them, and this is perfect for his religion. Or he can drug them before he sex with them. So he did the right thing according to his religion. So he is in jail for 10 years. But when he watched Alpha video, he got very upset that this teaching of Bible is that witchcraft is bad, whereas his religion is perfectly legal in Australia, and he has done everything right. So Bible is verifying, Alpha Courts is verifying him. So that was one case which came up. Then there was another organization which is offshoot from a Freemasonry organization. It's called Ordo Templo Orientis. So that sect of branch of Freemasonry, they believe in, their holy book teaches to have sex with children, pedophilia, and to sacrifice children. So one doctor, she was Australian of the Year last year, she wrote a paper that it's not a good teaching. So those people have also filed case against her that she is vilifying our religion by criticizing our holy book, that pedophilia and sacrificing children is not a good idea. So there have been cases coming up because of this law in Australia.
Now, Daniel, it seems to me that you've suffered a great deal over the years, but what has struck me is just your very honest, very humble, and very courageous stand that you have made. Now, you were persecuted as a young Christian growing up in a Pakistani country. You were charged under a capital offence because you wouldn't convert to Islam. You had to flee from your homeland, which you cannot return to. And now in Australia, once again, you've been persecuted because of your beliefs by Muslims. You must feel pretty hostile to Muslims, don't you?
No, actually, I know that Muslims are not my enemy. Muslims are not enemy of anybody. The real enemy of everybody is Satan. He uses people, and he uses teaching. Okay. So we need to understand that Muslims are not our enemy. So I'm not really against Muslim people. I love them because I cannot be Christian and live in unforgiveness. The first thing Jesus said from the cross was, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. So I thank God. When I actually came from Pakistan to Australia, the first letter which I wrote was not for my wife and five children, whom I love so dearly. I wrote first letter to those professors who filed case against me. I said, look, I have forgiven you, and I love you, and I pray for your salvation. I, being Christian, I have to be clear conscious before God. When this case was going against me in Australia, there were two young Muslims, one lady and one young man. They needed help. They were in trouble. I sheltered them in my house. as my own family member. I fed them, I cared for them, I treated them like my own children. And some people were saying, Daniel, you are a fool. Muslims have threatened to kill you 7 times in Australia, and you are giving shelter to these young Muslims in your house. Don't you know they can kill you? I said, look, I cannot live under fear. I'm Christian, I live under faith. Faith in Lord Jesus Christ. He is in control. Muslims are not in control of my life. And I have responsibility to love them. Love is not just a saying word. It's a doing word. So you practically do that. So I love and care for Muslim people. I pray for their salvation. I cannot be true Christian if I hate anybody. Jesus taught, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So I thank God. Like a few months ago, my son's nephew, who was pastor in Peshawar, he and his one of his elders, they were kidnapped. The Muslim fundamentalists, they kidnapped them. They cut their hands off. They cut their noses. They cut their ear. And they pierced their whole body with machine gun and then dragged them. So when I heard the news, it was not very pleasant. But my first prayer was, God, please give me grace to forgive those people because I am Christian. Forgive those people who have done it. So we being Christian, this is something we need to practice in our homes. I'm asking you, between husband and wife as well. Sometimes we forgive everybody else, but not our spouse, or not our children, or not our parents. So this is my humble suggestion. Please live life of abundance, life of forgiveness, and love and care for others.